And the reality is, people don't leave organizations, they leave people.
Yeah.
People don't leave churches, they leave people.
Hey, and welcome to the Tarun Stevenson Leadership Channel, where we're helping you lead, communicate, and grow to your full potential. I'm your host, Tarun Stevenson. Whatever portal you are tuning in on, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, your favorite podcast, or Instagram, make sure you subscribe and follow so you don't miss any of our episodes. Let's get into it. Here, and I am here with my friend Bobby Allen. Bobby Allen is a coach, speaker, and a leadership consultant. He is the founder of Life and Legacy Consulting. He's also a member of the Forbes Coaches Group. Is that right? The Forbes Coaches Council?
Yeah, Forbes Coaches Council.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And recently, keynote speaker on the Servant Leadership Conference. And it's just such an exciting privilege to have you here, Bobby, today. We're looking forward to hearing the wisdom that you have to share. I first met you about 4 years ago. We were at a conference, a John Maxwell conference. And, you know, I just instantly felt connected to you. You're just such a warm, inviting person. And we shared a coffee. And I don't know, we only spent a little bit of time together at that conference, but our time together was so memorable that when I was thinking about people that I wanted to come on this show, I thought, I've got to have Bobby on because I just enjoyed our conversation so much that it would be a shame not to share that with others. So welcome, Bobby, to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Tarun. I'm honored. And I agree, the time we spent together and got to know each other at the IMC, the Maxwell Conference, was just awesome. You know what I really loved and really honored about you is you were real, authentic. You were just kind. You're just not only an awesome leader, you're just a real person. And I,
thank you,
man, I left that thinking, if I got nothing else from this Maxwell conference, this just paid me in full. Thank you. That's how I left after meeting you.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and the feeling is definitely mutual. Look, I like that you mentioned raw and authentic because, I mean, that's something that you are very, you know, you're very authentic and very real. We went very deep in our conversation very quickly, which is unusual. I don't know if you find that a lot of the time you have conversations at conferences and everything's fairly superficial. You're talking about what you do, who you speak to, where you've been. But we went deep really quickly and I found that really refreshing. When I was talking to. And so I wonder if we can do that on this conversation, Bobby. Let's just go deep really quickly because I think that both of us are the type of people that just like to be open and honest. And I think that that's something that can really add value to everybody that's listening right now. And I've been reading your book, Relational Leadership. I know it's a couple of years old now, but just having a look through it and your early journey of leadership, you started out in church ministry, you planted a church, and it was a very rapidly growing church. How old were you when you first started in that journey?
Boy, I think I might have been probably in my 30s, probably 35 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you mentioned in the book that part of that early journey, it was a rapidly growing church, but you hit some big roadblocks fairly early on, and you talk about not realizing at the time the difference between the health of an organization and the organism of what you're leading. Talk to me more about what that is, and how did you come to that realization for yourself? What was the moment that was sort of catalytic in helping you say, oh, hang on a second, I've been missing something here. I need to shift the way I'm doing things.
Yeah, actually, Tarun, that was a real dream come true for me. I was in Europe doing leadership conferences and working with the faith community and just having a blast training and developing leaders. And that church plant, or contemporary church plant, was the first opportunity for me to realize that there's an organization in every organism. Yes. There's an organism in every organization.
Right.
What is that? The organism is the people. The organization is the paper, policies, procedures, and programs, and everything that makes the people either succeed or fail.
Yeah.
So people need to learn to take the organization for granted. Yeah. So a better, well-oiled organization produces well-oiled people who produce at their full capacity.
Yeah.
We had an organization that was just blowing and going from day one. It was just phenomenal. Yeah. I was a young guy. I started with a handful of people, and we just took off running. And before you know it, we were just it was so fast growing.
Yeah.
From the money to the people to the responsibility to the privilege, I couldn't train and develop leaders fast enough.
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, I hope this thing stops. I can't keep up at this pace.
Yeah.
And long story short, there was one element to the, there's many layers to how this wonderful organization that was publicly known, that was just the greatest thing since sliced bread, how it blew up on my watch.
Yeah.
And here is one of the things that happened.
Tell me.
I didn't know what it was called back then.
Yeah.
I now know it's called emotional intelligence. It's
okay.
EQ.
Yeah.
Back then, I didn't realize that you could have all the leadership skill set and gift mix. You could have so many leadership degrees. They call you Dr. Fahrenheit. But if you don't understand people emotionally and relationally at the highest level, and if you don't operate at full capacity in a healthy and emotionally healthy manner, here's what happens when you get successful and what I call now emotionally wobbly. Okay. Here at Legacy Leadership and Coaching, I founded this in 2011. That's what we do. We teach individuals and leaders and organizations in both the business community and the faith community emotional intelligence in leadership, in organizations, in life. And what happened at that time is we got so big so fast that I quit developing. And I didn't have time to develop the people. I was just trying to develop leaders to keep everything running. And what happens, vision, relationships always trump vision.
Yeah.
People should never become the end to a leader's means.
Good.
And pretty soon what happened is I put the vision and the leadership and everything ahead of the emotional, relational health of the people and even of myself. And what happens is, When success hits, I found out something. This is why I don't fear failure any longer. I fear success when you're emotionally, relationally unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what's EQ? Is it that soft skill stuff? You know, burp them, shake their hand, give them an attaboy, attagirl, and send them on their way, right?
Yeah.
Nothing can be further from the truth. And the reality is people don't leave organizations. They leave people.
Yeah.
People don't leave churches. They leave people.
Yeah.
People will stay at a company, a business, a church, an organization, even if they don't make as much money as they would like, if they love the people they work with.
Yeah.
So what happens, people, I didn't understand this back then, Teron, people get hired for IQ every day and get fired for EQ.
They did that.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you're doing a great job. Sandy, you are just crushing it. Your skill set and gift mix is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I need to share something with you in your review here.
Yeah.
People don't like you. You don't, you kind of come off harsh, or you don't connect well with everybody. We're going to have to let you go.
Right.
And now when I'm working with my clients, my CEOs, my leaders, my business owners, my pastors, they're saying, how does EQ happen? What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, here's how it works. People call me at Legacy Leadership and Coaching and say, Bobby, we know you're an international speaker, leader, and coach. Come in and help me. Our organization is hurting in retention and recruitment. This is something not too long ago, a CEO of a multi-million dollar company says, can you come and help us? So he gets there, he says, our organization needs help and we just need to figure out what it is. Yeah. Our recruitment and retention is down. And I said, fantastic. Let me do some assessments and let me talk to you and see if I can get your edges. I call it getting your edges and finding you.
Yeah.
And he says, well, okay, whatever that means. And he says, I just know my organization needs work. Mm. Here's what I helped him see and understand. And when I was finished sharing, he just said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, you got it backwards. It's not your organization that's hurting first. It's not that your leadership is hurting and needs to be better. Both are true. The fact is, your emotional intelligence, your EQ is so low that it creates a lid on your leadership. And the result is an unhealthy organization. So in other words, your emotional intelligence, your ability to emotionally and relationally connect with your executive team and your people at every level is hurting. That is creating relational glitches and trust issues, and it's affecting and infecting your leadership team, and therefore ends up in an unhealthy organization that has what I call organizational hiccups and organizational glitches.
Yeah.
People think it's their organization. And he says, well, I've had 5 executive assistants in the last 8 months. I had to fire them all. Does anybody want any good money these days? Tell me, Bobby. I mean, come on, you know, I'm just ready to pay people good money. We're one of the top organizations in our industry. And I said, really, there's a pattern, huh? He said, yeah, man, I can find a good executive assistant anywhere. And I said, well, let's look at that. What do you think that is? He said, hey, I tell him, come on in here. I'll pay you. Get your job done. Get in or get out. Get on or get off. I don't mess around. If you want to be burped and cuddled, go to a kumbaya service or go to church camp.
Yeah.
I'm snapping necks and cashing checks here. Hey, Jaron, he says, 800 people don't eat unless I sign their checks. Let's kick butt. And I said, I respect that. I said, congratulations on your success, because you are about, you said, number one, number two in your market.
Yeah.
You have told me the last 3 years you're having terrible issues with recruitment and retention.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, what is up with that? I said, may I tell you what I found in the assessments?
Yeah.
He said, absolutely. I didn't fly you out of here for nothing. I'm a bottom line guy. Get right to the point. I said, yes, sir. I said, your recruitment issues and your retention issues, you ready?
Yeah.
People don't like you.
How did he take that?
He said, what? I'm coming over here and paying you money to tell me people don't like me?
Yeah.
I said, you're a bottom line guy. I said, this is the vault. I'm for you.
Yeah.
We're going to help you reach your goals. I'm going to exceed your expectations. We got to start at the beginning. People come on board. They love it here. But what happens is they bump into you.
Mm.
I said, your first assignment is to ask your executive team, what does it feel like to be on the other side of me?
Good.
And he said, wow. And I said, if you play, there's 2 rules.
Yeah.
You cannot defend yourself or explain yourself. Just take notes and say thank you.
Yeah.
He said, I'll do that. He came back a week later. He said, that was brutal.
Yeah.
He said, I had no idea. Yeah. He said, what is this? I said, it's called emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
I blew up an organization that happened to be in the faith community for many reasons. It wasn't all my demise, but I got to own my own stuff.
Yeah.
The fish stinks at the head.
Sure.
My EQ was so low. Yeah. We grew so fast. That I was burning and going. I was an adrenaline junkie with all the sincere, honest motives I could have.
Yeah.
But I was bumping into people relationally and emotionally, and I was hurting them and abusing them because I was rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And I was kick butt, take care of business and grow this thing.
Yeah.
But I was injuring people. Why? I said, I had found out when I grew up, I was emotionally, verbally abused by my dad.
Mm.
And it affected me terribly. When he left my mom, 8 months pregnant with 4 kids, I was the oldest. He hit Hollywood, got his dream for a short time. And the pain and rejection and abandonment issues that began to accompany my life were debilitating. So I grew up excelling in sports and music and girls to hide the pain. That was my way to anesthetize.
Yeah,
I pretty much dealt with a lot of it over the years as becoming a leader and a speaker and a coach. But there was deeper pain that was lying dormant that I learned to kind of exercise strategies and coping mechanisms. I knew how to play inside of the pain and get kind of good at it without really having to address the pain.
And that's
the success.
That's really the hallmark of a really high capacity leader is often the ability to keep working despite the pain. And, when we find ourselves in those positions, you know, very driven people, very vision oriented people, and we've learnt to deal with difficult situations and not let them get to us. And that's what makes us effective sometimes. But like you say, what's the toll as you go? I mean, how many dead bodies are you leaving along the way? And, you know, one of the things I do in my work is I coach teachers in behavior management and how to manage difficult children. One of the common themes that I see in education circles is they talk a lot about high quality teachers and being a skillful teacher. And if you're a skillful teacher, you won't have behavioral issues. Yet when I coach teachers and I observe them in the class, and then I'll have conversations similar to what you had with your CEO, have you ever thought that maybe the problem is not the children, but the problem is you, and you need to adjust the way that you're relating to children? Many of them are horrified. They're like, no, I came to you for help on how to manage those kids. You tell me how to manage their behavior. And I said, well, the greatest changes in children's behavior comes from changes in adults' behavior. And I'm finding that even now with leaders, you know, and I get to work with leaders in a similar capacity, many of them have the same kinds of conversations. It's like, how do I fix my team? Not realizing that to be on the other side of them is half the problem. It's not that the team hates the organization. The team loves the organization. They just don't know how to work with the leader.
Absolutely.
So tell me more about when you were going through this process of realizing that perhaps part of the difficulties in your organization and your leadership was you. That's a pretty confronting thing to deal with. Yeah. I've been through my own sort of path with that and had to reckon with myself. You know, I mean, this has happened with my marriage as well. And even with raising kids, you know, my three kids, I've had moments where they've said, Dad, you're the problem, not us, you know, and that's hard to take. That's hard to take from the people that you're supposedly responsible for. Talk about that moment where you had the realization for yourself. Who helped you realize that? And what was the journey that you took to start to change that in your own life?
Yeah. Well, you know, Teron, I'm really happy that the people have someone like you leading them, especially with child development. Who better than you, right?
Thank you.
And one of the things I've learned, all my kids now are all adults. So one thing I learned is children don't really cause problems in the home. They reveal problems in the home.
That's great. I love it.
And employees don't really cause problems as much in the organization as they reveal problems in the organization, starting with the CEO and the executive team. And it's important to look in the mirror. People tried to help me look in the mirror way back then. That was over 20 years ago. When I crashed and burned, when I became a statistic. But I couldn't hear it. I couldn't see it. There was so much going on, and it was moving at such a fast pace. I mean, you think you want a quick, fast-growing organization until you get one. Yeah. And then if you find out, like I did, that your EQ was low and that you had abuse issues from the past, success brought it up and out. And now you have to grow up in public. Leaders have to grow up in public. We don't have the luxury to grow up in private.
That's true. Yeah.
So learn everything you can in the shadows. In my new book that's coming out next month, From Titles to Towels, The Heart of a Servant Leader, I have a chapter in there called Shadow Living.
Learning
to live and lead in the shadows.
Yeah.
Learn as many lessons as possible in the shadows before you come under the big lights. Because the more successful you get on the outside, and the more hurting you are on the inside, that's a recipe for your professional life outpaces your personal life.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're a tragedy waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
What brings that up and out, like a tea bag, is the hot, hot water. Sometimes the environment gets hot. People get jealous and ugly and motives, and people get attracted to you for different reasons, not all good. It gets hot in the kitchen. And when you find out you can't emotionally, relationally deal with it, you begin to crash and burn and set up what I call landmines, relational landmines. And oftentimes they go off as people step on them. And sometimes they go off consecutively. Bah, 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 bah. And then people are blowing up all around you, but you think it's them. You don't realize that you actually created those landmines. So to answer your question, I didn't understand emotional intelligence. Now, 90% of the clients we serve locally, nationally, and internationally, their next step of growth is emotional intelligence
yeah.
in the faith community and the business community. Yeah. This is what I discovered.
That's my
emotional intelligence.
Too. Yeah.
Emotional intelligence is the next step of growth for humanity,
yeah.
starting with leaders.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that you can have, and it doesn't mean everybody's mean and evil and bad.
Yeah.
EQ is not taught in America. It's not in the institutional system.
Yeah.
You don't, matter of fact, in our, in the USA, and I have many friends who are in the education market and teachers, and I love and value them greatly, actually. I think they're our real heroes. Yeah. But also is when you see little Johnny or Susie talking in class, you say, you're off task, you need to focus, you're interrupting the class. If you don't quit, I'm going to get you ISSS, in-school suspension.
Mm.
Now, there is a time for appropriate discussion and being a people person and talking. But here's what Mr. and Mrs. Teacher missed. Because they lacked the skills of emotional intelligence, they couldn't identify. This was an EQ brilliant student in the making, just immature and rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And then they helped with the lie that if you don't get A's on all your courses and graduate top in your class, you'll never be successful.
Yeah.
I've got people with so many degrees, you call them Dr. Fahrenheit, and they're coming to me saying, I don't know what's wrong. I keep getting fired. I'm a CEO, got fired four times by my board. He told me a story. He doesn't connect with humans well.
Wow.
He doesn't know how to talk to people. He doesn't know how to connect with people.
Yeah.
Here's what I found. People will forget what you say. They will forget what you do, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah, so true. So true. I find it interesting. I don't know if you've observed this, but a lot of the leadership books from the early 2000s, late 90s, you know, talk about the heroes of leadership from, say, the 80s, people like Jack Welch and Ray Kroc. And, you know, they're all, I admire all of those guys, and they've done extraordinary things with the companies that they've led. But what I've noticed recently is there is a new group of leadership commentators that are talking about the same people, but they're identifying that they lacked relational qualities that were necessary for long-term sustainability. And, you know, I've, the movie that came out about McDonald's recently, about Ray Kroc. I mean, as I was watching that, because I've always looked at Ray Kroc in the light of what an extraordinary leader, extraordinary strategist. And, you know, you hear everybody, you reference him in their leadership talks. And then as I watched the movie, I thought, you could be the most successful person in the world, but if your relationships are bankrupt, your legacy is tainted. I mean, it doesn't matter how many awards you've got on your wall and how much money you've got in the bank. If you've done it at the expense of the relationships, that's what people end up remembering you for. And as I watched that movie about Ray Kroc, I thought, wow, here is a filmmaker that has an opportunity to remember or recognize the achievements of Ray Kroc, and the thing that they recognize is his relational bankruptcy. Yeah, and I just find that really curious. And I've seen that happen with other leaders as well, where the stuff that's really coming out now that they've moved on is actually how they left people feeling. How do we as leaders, because look, I've been there too, and I've been a relationally bankrupt leader before, and I've worked with leaders that are like that. How do we take the journey? Because I find that self-realization is the first step to it. If you don't recognize it for yourself, if you don't have self-awareness, you can't start making changes. But how do you, once you recognize there's a problem with you, how do you take the first step to moving towards relating to others? Because some people don't necessarily have the personality that is tends towards relationship. I mean, I kind of like that, you know. Put me on a stage, I can talk to people, but put me in private, I feel uncomfortable talking one-on-one. And I've had to teach myself how to be relational, because I'd much prefer to sit in a corner by myself. So how do you, for those maybe struggle to, relationships don't come naturally, or maybe they've got a poor foundation for relationships, how do you take that first step to becoming more relational and more emotionally intelligent?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I spend, you know, many hours, many conferences and workshops, and here at Legacy Leadership and Coaching, we spend at least 4 hours a month with our individuals, our leaders, and our organizations unpacking EQ, and then unpacking leadership, and then unpacking organizational health and growth. High EQ produces a leadership that breaks the lid, and the result is a healthy organization that runs and fuels both the organism and organization. But here's the thing. Sometimes people have to crash and burn like I did,
yeah,
because your gifts and your abilities and your talents can carry you far, yeah, but they have a shelf life. And that's the issue. You might think you're successful, but if you're killing it in business and money and you're taking people hostage at the same time, emotionally and relationally, you're nothing more than a successful failure.
Yeah.
Because relationships are the capital and the key to life,
yeah,
bar none. Relationships always trump vision.
Yeah.
Credibility comes with high visibility with people.
Yeah.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you're asking a question that takes months and months to unpack, but sure, here's the basics.
What's the first
step? First of all, you have to help people understand their self-awareness.
Yeah.
You might be surprised how many people are not aware,
yeah,
of what they give off when they walk into a room. They don't know that they're non-verbally, emotionally, their look, their feel, their mannerisms, how they sit, how they stand, how they move their hands, all communicates things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's self-awareness. I had about five executives in a room, high level. We had a vegetable plate, and it was just 2 feet away because we were in a small office. And one of the executives get up in the middle when the CEO, world-renowned author, leader, and he gets up and starts munching on the carrots and the celery, going, and the executives were like, is this guy serious?
Yeah.
This guy was clueless. His self-awareness, yeah, he's looking at him, and I'm thinking, oh God, I gotta save this guy, right? And our world-renowned speaker and author and leader is so kind, he's pretending he doesn't hear it.
Yeah.
This is a silly but a good example of lacking self-awareness.
Yeah.
After you become more aware, and I give people five different assessments that are quick and easy. Their EQ is not aptitude. It's not EQ is not personality.
No.
EQ is not IQ. EQ is not your ability to take tests. EQ is not personality.
Yeah.
Personality and IQ peak at 17 years old. EQ, you can learn a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find it because it's in not many institutions across the world.
No.
Most of the world's problems have to do with people who emotionally and relationally can't connect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most marriages don't divorce because, oh, I don't really, you know, like you. Emotionally, relationally, they had an impasse and couldn't recover.
Yeah.
People don't leave churches in the faith community, they don't go through church splits because of Bible and theology.
No.
It's emotions and relationships.
Yeah.
So wherever there are humans, EQ is alive. Whether you're aware of it or not,
yeah,
is the question. So we slow everybody down and we say, here's the issue. Your greatest success or your greatest failure is going to determine how well you know how to be a human.
Yeah.
Because you cannot impart what you do not possess. You, yeah, can't give away what you don't have.
Yeah.
So you need to become a product of the product. If you aren't growing emotionally intelligently, know how to not just, good leaders can read a room and feed a room. Great leaders can feel the room.
Right.
So when you walk in, you have training. And because I have, it's much deeper. There's five composites, there's 15 subsets. I understand emotional relational styles of relating. I can see people operating in different, you don't assign motive and pretend you can read their minds, but you learn things. You learn to spot and ask questions. You become a master question asker.
Good.
So self-awareness. Now I'm aware. I was not aware. 35 years old when I went to a conference. I'll tell the story in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Good example of lack of self-awareness. One of the speakers came to me, and her name was Deborah. She said, Bobby, you're an amazing man. I've been watching you. You give verbal bouquets like nobody's business. You love to inspire and edit and build up. She goes, you're awesome at it. I said, oh, thanks. I love adding value to people. And I said, you don't, you know, people don't grow when you, because you show them their weaknesses and rag on it. She says, would you go back to your hotel tonight and find out, ask yourself again, why do you give verbal bouquets? And I thought, what? All right. And I thought, you know, freak show, I'll go do that. So I get back there and I'm a man of faith. And I say, hey, God, help me understand what's going on. She wants me to ask why. Nothing. 10 minutes, nothing. 15 minutes, nothing. 20 minutes, I had a thought. When my dad left me, I was introduced to abandonment and rejection at the deepest level. Yeah. It ate my lunch.
Yeah.
It caused 27 years of anxiety attacks and panic attacks that nobody knew except closest to me that I actually struggled with off and on every day, almost two decades.
Wow.
And when I began to understand that, oh, wait a minute. So I developed a good thing, but I use it in a bad way. I do really care about people and as a leader add value. But if I can meet Teron real quick, and I did it without thinking I got good at it, and say, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. Dude, you look great. Hey, man, you're awesome. And just compliment you, build you up.
Yeah.
There was an ulterior motive. Don't you leave me and reject me. Don't abandon me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just make you like me so you don't abandon me or reject me. Dude, I got that awareness, that self-awareness for the first time at 35 years old.
There you go.
So that's self-awareness. Now, next step of the four pillars of emotional intelligence, Travis Bradbury's book, he highlights these in Emotional Intelligence 2.0.
Yeah.
I consider him a colleague and even a mentor. So here's the thing. Self-awareness, now self-management. Now I got all these things I'm aware of that I never wasn't aware of about me.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Now I got to manage all the new things I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I walk people through this from A to Z, leaders, organizations, teams, and marriages and kids and mom and dad's relationships.
Yeah.
So self-awareness, self-management. Now social awareness.
Yeah.
What's going on emotionally and relationally with the people around me?
Yeah.
People tell me, well, I'm not real I don't do relationships much. I'm an introvert. I don't really know this thing. And I said, tell you what's your favorite show? One guy said, Seinfeld. Mm. I said, go watch an episode of Seinfeld and turn the volume all the way down.
Mm.
He said, what? I said, would you be willing to do that? He said, heck yeah, man. I trust you. You come highly recommended, Bobby. I got you. He came back the following week. You know what he said? Game changer.
Wow.
He said, did you know that was going to force me to watch people and guess what they're saying and see their mannerisms and notice their facial expressions and notice their body language? I was going to become more socially aware.
Wow.
And it made me become more self-aware at the same time. He said, you're sneaky. I said, no, I just wanted you to learn. And I got an idea of how your temperament was and your personality. And I knew that would connect for you.
Great.
He said, that was brilliant. Self-awareness, self-management, social awareness.
Mm.
Now that I'm more aware of all these social, emotional, relational things going on, he said, Bobby, I never knew there was so much going on in a room filled with people.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, man, you're not alone. It's the next step of growth for humanity. And he said, well, what do I do? I said, now you got to learn relationship management. So it's self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management.
Mm.
Now you got to learn how to manage all the new things you're aware of about all the relationships emotionally and relationally that you were not aware of.
Brilliant.
He said, how do you do that? I said, that's what we're going to learn for the next year together. I'm going to take you through 5 or 6 or 7 of my courses. Yeah. We're going to unpack this thing. I'm going to put the cookies of life and transformation on the bottom shelf. You're going to become a better leader and a better man. And you're going to love it, man. I guarantee you.
Love it. Love it. And really, you've just summed it up so beautifully of, how we can approach this and, you know, self-awareness and self-management and social awareness and relationships. And, you know, I'm so glad you've talked about those things because these are the things that I come up in my conversations with leaders all the time is, you know, this self-awareness and being able to manage relationships. And I love the concept of watching people. I love sitting at airports because I'm in airports a lot. And I love sitting in airports and just watching people.
Yeah.
You can learn so much from just sitting there and observing the way that they interact with each other. And I try and make up stories about what they're actually conversing about because I can't hear the conversation.
I like that.
It's great. But tell me, what would you say, you know, we've got a couple of minutes left before we wrap this up, but what would you say to the leader who perhaps doesn't see the value in actually doing the work to become emotionally intelligent? You know, they're all about stacking bills and being powerful. And it's, for them, it's all about ego. And as long as they're the biggest and the best and the most notorious, then they're happy. And whoever is collateral damage, well, that's not a big deal for them. What would you say to a leader who is like, can you actually say anything, or is it just something you just can't speak into?
That's a great question. And what I have found in my travels locally, nationally, and right, and when I get these international opportunities, I found out the heart's the same for every leader. Yeah. It's just a different face in a different place.
Yeah,
right. Here's what I found. You have to remind them that people are your greatest appreciable asset.
Yeah.
Relationships always trump vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can add value to your people and understand their silent cries and listen to their silent cries, if you can understand that people really want to feel valued, they will be ready to attack hell with squirt guns with you.
Yeah.
If you stay at positional leadership, the first of five levels of leadership, and if you only stay at the first level, there's five levels of leadership. Mm. There's also five levels of intentionality.
Mm.
And so if you could understand that your organization, your bottom line goals will go through the roof when you can get people around you who actually believe it's so simple. He cares about me.
Yeah.
He wants the best for me. He wants me to win. This is what I found out from one of my mentors, Ken Blanchard. You're a servant first and you're a leader second. You never cross the finish line first as a leader or alone.
Yeah.
You always cross the finish line by taking people with you.
Yeah.
And servant leaders talk about until it's time to do it.
Mm.
Because when I never knew that Ken Blanchard tag teams with people to write books.
Yeah.
Not because he needs to.
Yeah.
He can write and sell anything.
Yeah.
He believes in helping people win and positioning. He never wins alone.
Right.
And he shares the purse. I have adopted that at Legacy Leadership and Coaching. I refuse to lead alone. I refuse to live alone.
Right.
And win alone.
Yeah.
Bring people with me. So you got to let people know and slow them way down. Most CEOs are adrenaline junkies, not because they're bad people, mean people. No. I love these guys.
Yeah.
I love these women. I love these pastors and leaders and men and women, business owners. What's wrong? Leadership is taxing, but you forget, you get so busy crunching numbers and dialing in your products, speaking to your vendors and getting things done. If you can slow the pace down and get back to people. So I asked one of my district managers in a Starbucks organization, what business are you in?
Yeah.
He says, I'm in the coffee business serving people.
Hmm.
And I said, thank you. May I? He said, absolutely. I said, what if you were in the people business serving coffee?
Right. Good.
Man, the light went on in this district manager. He ran 12 stores. He said, what? I said, what if you're in the people business serving coffee?
Mm.
What would your strategies, your philosophy, your core values, your mission and your vision, how would that be impacted?
Yeah.
We unpacked that, game changer.
Yeah.
He said, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. So I remind people, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what you sell, no matter what you do, you're in the people business first.
Good.
Then you're a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Then you're an insurance agent. Yeah. Then you're a pastor. Then you serve coffee. Then you're a coach, a leader, an executive.
Right.
I'm in the people business.
Yeah. So good.
It's all about the people. Leadership is all about the people. It's not about us.
So good. And look, Bobby, I would love to talk all day with you about this because there's so much gold in it, but I'm just so grateful that you've taken the time to share this wisdom with us today.
Oh, man.
And
it's
just been so good. Look, it's helping me. You know, I'm still on a journey myself and I'm loving just listening to this and I'm making notes in my head. I'm going, okay. I love that analogy of you're in the people business serving coffee. You know, as a church leader, I'm in the people business running church services, not the other way around. I'm in the,
that's right,
you know, people business coaching people. I'm in the people business running seminars. And I love that. Just put people first and the rest will follow. Simon Sinek, I recently saw him talking. He says this, that most organizations measure performance over relational trust and over people. Mm. And he said, and what we need to do is switch it up and start measuring relationship trust in an organization over performance, because some of your best performers will not necessarily be your best most trusted people. And I wonder, just very briefly before we close out, talk to me about how do we measure success with people? Because it's a bit of an intangible. You can't make a spreadsheet on your relational success with people. And I think that's why so many leaders opt for the numbers, you know, how many people turned up to the conference or how many people hit their sales target this month. It's very hard to measure our success with people. What are your suggestions of how we can actually keep track of that and see if we're doing a good job of it?
That's a great question. I know I don't have the time to fully unpack that. You'll scratch your head, probably needing more. You'll have more questions than answers. But here's the thing. When you start growing in emotional intelligence, you gain new awareness of definitions. Yeah. Your philosophy actually begins to be more filled in and colorful.
Yeah.
You begin to see your journey differently. But here's the thing. The lie is that if you be buddy and not boss, people take advantage of you and your bottom line goals will be compromised. Your financial goals will be compromised.
Yeah.
Exact opposite. You don't have to be buddy, meaning everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
It's not, do you want to be boss or buddy?
Yeah.
Here's what I found. Be a person who values others genuinely and cares about their success.
Right.
And people will follow you. And what happens is, you will see that it will impact your financial goals, your bottom line goals.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? This is what I found. If people see you only as a boss and a paycheck, they will stay with you and their commitment will be 9 to 5, but they always are working with one foot out the door.
Yeah.
They're always looking for a better place and they'll even leave if they like the people and the environment better. They'll even leave for less pay.
Yeah.
When they work, if you can be a leader who values them, they will stay even for less pay.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a passion employee and a paycheck employee.
100%.
Paycheck employees are always working for a boss, making them successful and doing what they say.
Yeah.
They are glorified gophers who get a paycheck.
Yeah.
When you get to be a passion employee, and that leader develops and empowers you. It makes you feel special, unique, and they convince you you're part of the team, that without you, we won't make it.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, they'll get up at 7, get in their office early, and when it's 5, they're like, 5, I don't even want to leave. You're saying, that's just an emotional hype stuff. I challenge you to try it, leader.
Yeah.
Try adding value to your people. Try caring about their success.
Yes.
And not being a boss, but someone who adds value intentionally. See if they get there early, if they stay longer, and see if it does not positively impact your financial goals and your bottom line goals through the roof.
Great. Great. I love it. So much wisdom there, Bobby. Thank you so much. You know, if people want to find out more about Bobby Allen and what you do, where do they go? How do we find you?
Well, thank you. LinkedIn is one place, Facebook, legacyleadershipandcoaching.com.
Okay.
We are just about finished. We've been working on our website because we've grown and we have new deliverables and new offerings for pastors and leaders and businesses. So if you get on there the next day or two, it's going to show you we're just finishing up, but Legacy Leadership and Coaching. It'll help you see where you can buy my books, where I'm speaking, or call at 214-934-0741. That's my line, and we'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll hang out.
Fantastic. So good. And I'm going to put the links in the description. And by the time this podcast goes up, I'm sure that all of your website construction will be completed by then for sure. But look, it's just been such a privilege and a pleasure to chat with you, Bobby. Thank you so much for giving up your time. It's Good Friday where you are, isn't it?
It is.
So, yeah, you're right. Giving up your Good Friday, and thank you so much. I'm a day ahead of you, so it's already Saturday for me. But it's been so good to catch up with you finally and have this conversation, and I hope we can have another one again really soon.
Teron, anywhere you are, anything where you are doing something, I'm in. I'm just honored to be where you're at. Seriously, this is not blowing smoke. Where you are, what you're doing, great things are happening. And I feel honored you would just give me some time to be involved in anything you're doing. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That's awesome, Bobby. Tell us very quickly, what's the name of your new book coming out?
It's called From Titles to Towels, The Heart of a Servant Leader.
What's the release date?
The release date, it looks like they're now saying maybe 1st of May.
1st of May. Okay, no problem. All right, so very, very soon, if you're watching this and you want to learn more about what Bobby is talking about, I recommend you grab his books. He's already got two other books. You can find them on Amazon.com, and we'll put the links in the description as well. Bobby, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, mate.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you got a ton of value out of that. Don't forget to like, comment, and share with somebody who you think will benefit. And make sure you check the description for the free resources that I want to send your way to help you in your growth journey. Until next time, I'm Teron Stevenson, helping you lead, communicate, and grow to your full potential.